Hi, everybody. This is Ken Wilson. Once upon a time, I broadcast blues hockey. I always listen to Let's Go Blues Radio. It's everything you'll want as a blues fan. Oh, baby.
Stop doing those diet or workout fads to lose weight. Use the tried and true approach from Rockin' That Idea Life that helps you find balance while enjoying food in moderation and nourishing your body. Try the Lean 30 program at rockinthatidealife.com and let today be your last first day of your weight loss journey.
When buying or selling your home, you need to feel protected. Realtor Mike Burgoyne not only looks out for your interests, but as a St. Louis area police officer, will make sure you feel safe and well-informed with every decision. Email Mike at strikewithmike.com and start the process today. That's Mike at strikewithmike.com.
Get ready to hear some noise tonight. You're just seconds away from Let's Go Blues Radio.
Let's have a Donnybrook.
Eric Brewer was so bad.
Are we like Oakville Corp? Are we suspended?
I reciprocated the dickness.
Selfish hockey.
That's right. Selfish hockey.
What did I tell you about stick tape?
You don't need it!
No doubt about it, eh? You're listening to Kurt, Bill, and Jeff on Let's Go Blues Radio, the original St. Louis Blues hockey fan podcast. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to episode 22 of season 13 of Let's Go Blues Radio, the often imitated, never duplicated Winter is Coming. We're the original St. Louis Blues hockey podcast, Let's Go Blues Radio. Special thanks to our sponsors, rockinthatidealife.com and realtor Mike Burgoyne for once again probably sponsoring the show. Please check them out. Also, please don't forget to check out our t-shirt shop at letsgoblues.com for the best blues-themed t-shirts at a unbelievably fair price. It is Thursday, March 7th, 2024. This is franchise episode number 453 all time, and we are streaming live right now on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Grindr, OnlyFans. What else is there? Is there anything else? Yeah, whatever. Realtor.com.
Yeah.
Homes.com.
Homes.com.
Apartments.com.
Apartments.com.
We're actually streaming live on the SIUE website right now.
We better not be.
Might be a bit of a conflict of interest for Kurt.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't be the first time I've portrayed our identity on some other website. The St. Clair County 911 webpage back in 2000. I was threatened with the wrath of St. Clair County. Because I put our hockey team's website on the replaced the homepage of the 911 webpage for St. Clair County with our hockey team's webpage. It was a complete accident. Nice. Not my fault, actually.
It was a long story. In the days of, you know, very, very advanced information security barriers and
The NORCOM 2000, the security at NORCOM 2000. I think it was NORCOM 2000.
Yep.
Or Powering Technologies, one of the two.
NORCOM. Oh, I remember.
I could just browse other websites, directories on the shared web server. And I was just looking for GIFs back in the day. You know, animated GIFs were a thing. I was looking for a really cool under construction logo or something. And I accidentally left one of their directories open when I uploaded a change to our website. And it put it on, and they're both called Index. And it replaced theirs with ours. And yeah, I got a phone call the next morning.
Nice.
They were pissed.
You're lucky the SWAT team didn't come kick it down the door.
It's amazing to me that I was able to do that. I mean, I told them, I said, you know what? You're welcome. I could have been a malicious hacker that could have just, you know, I didn't even hack anything. It was just, I just opened a folder. I could have just wiped out all kinds of stuff. Surely it was all backed up, but still.
Could have.
To interact with the show on social media, our handle on all the socials is at LGB Radio. I am Kurt Price, and my co-hosts for the big show tonight are Bill Day and Austin Lynch. That's right. Jeff Ponder is on assignment. I heard that he's out with an injury, actually. He's on the IR. LTIR. Yeah.
Yes.
Is it gonorrhea of the eye? Is that what it is?
Something like that. He's either out with an injury or he's filming as an extra in the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
I think that's actually what it is, yeah.
Okay. the agenda for tonight includes discussion about, we're going to talk about the Blues' lackluster performance in New Jersey. Yeah, I guess.
This is a Blues show.
You know, yeah, you can bitch about it. That's what it's for. It's a therapy session. And then there's a trade deadline is tomorrow in the NHL, 2 p.m. Central Time. Rumors are going back and forth on Buchnevich. You know, one source says, that the Blues are open to retaining half of his salary to help him get him moved. Other people are saying, there's nothing. He played tonight, so they have no interest in trading him. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Or maybe late tonight. Who knows?
Maybe during the show.
Maybe during the show. That'd be pretty cool. Austin? Keep an eye out for that stuff.
I will. I have Twitter up. And
All that and more on tonight's episode, the post-game show of Let's Go Blues Radio. I assume you guys watched the show, game tonight, because...
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But before we get into the game, the Blues defeated the Minnesota Wild 3-1 last Saturday. And so this was, and then Binnington was in net, Toropchenko, Neighbors, and Krug scored. And then they beat Philadelphia 2-1 in a shootout. You're thinking, okay, strung a couple wins together. Maybe they can make a push at Nashville since their winning streak is over. But they won tonight 4-2, and they fucking beat Colorado the other night. They're looking good. For the playoffs, so the Blues are not. Nashville should actually feel pretty safe right now. And Binnington was in net against Philadelphia as the Blues won in a shootout. And then against the Islanders on Tuesday, the Blues lost 4-2, up 2-0, lost 4-2. Not a good finish to this game. Hope was in net. But one of the cool things about this game was the amazing save that Joel Hofer made in this game for the Blues, and it is our save of the week, Bill Day's save of the week. And when I saw this, I was like, this has got to be it, right? This has got to be the save, because especially so we can bitch and complain about how the ESPN crew just totally botched this call. They glazed over the save, made a huge deal about this puck hitting the post, and didn't even really say much about the save at all. Hofer may have gotten a piece of it, and it goes off the post. May have gotten a piece of it. So you wanna break more for us, Bill?
Let's get into it. You got me.
I'll pull it up for you, Bill. There you go. Right. Austin's asleep at the wheel.
All right.
Just a little bit.
And I'll get rid of the. There you got rid of the overlay too. There we go. Okay. Go for it.
Okay. So, as Kurt mentioned, save of the week this week comes from the Islanders game. The second period, and the Islanders trying to capitalize on a just disgusting Marco Scandella turnover. Scandella's had a halfway decent year, but cannot make that turnover. Hofer behind the net plays the puck to Scandella, who tries to, instead of go up the boards, go up the middle, turns it over to Simon Holmstrom, who is the son of the guy from that movie, The Mask, from not the Jim Carrey mask, but the one from the 80s with Cher. Yeah, that guy. So wide open, gaping net. And speaking of 80s movies, Joel Hofer comes back across with a Ralph Macchio Karate Kid kick of a save, lunges across the crease, extends the pad, gets the inside of the inner leg of the pad, gets enough to keep it from going into the net, redirects off the post out the other side. Just so much athleticism in this play. And as Kurt mentioned, nary a, Hofer might have, well, the closest we got was Hofer might have got a piece of that, but Fucking hey, this could potentially be save of the year candidate if the Blues come back and win this game and wind up making the playoffs.
Yeah.
But not a damn thing. Unfortunately, we have had to deal with two nights of back-to-back games announced by Bob Wischusen on ESPN. Yeah. And he's got to be my least favorite national broadcaster at this moment. So hell of a save by Hofer, though, man. That's to be able to lunge legs straight and not jam your leg into the other goalpost and wreck your knees. Just insane, insanely like athletic. And man,
that when I first saw it at full speed, you couldn't really tell what happened there because he gets enough of it to have it go wide. He doesn't get like a huge chunk of it where it's like, oh, it's obvious save. Which is why at the time the broadcast team probably didn't notice he made the save. But on the replay, even, you know, they after a couple replays, they're like, Hofer may have gotten a piece of it. And I'm thinking, you think? That's the whole reason it didn't go in the net. So, yeah. Just candidate for save of the year. But like you said, Bill, since they didn't win the game and might not make the playoffs, there's no cool story behind that that save that would have, hey, this is the save that turned the season around at the end of the season for the Blues.
Yeah, this team, like, it's lacking that, you know, emotional, like, this could have been an emotional jumpstart to a team if that's what was missing. Clearly, this team's just not in it emotionally. You know, if that can't get their blood going and actually get them to, you know, put effort every shift and not just go through the motions, like, you know, getting in here, I saw a lot of the comments that Lawrence Frazier, I think that might be a new
listener.
He's posting a lot of, you know, thoughts that have gone through my head. And you know, it's yeah, that if you can't get up and take over a game after seeing a save like that, God, it just, you know, what are you doing? Why are you playing?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can question the team's heart, at times this season. So,
like right now,
yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe it's not so much heart. Maybe it's not so much effort. Maybe it's just they're just not good enough. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't, you know, you're out there seeing, I think a lot of people like to throw around the term, you know, the effort term, like the effort wasn't there. And I think, well, maybe in some cases, but I think it's overused and thrown around way too much. I think if you watch the game, they're out there trying hard, or things just aren't working, or they just can't, you know, finish a play. They can't execute things properly to make a difference. This is not working. And that's just a byproduct of the team just not being good enough. And they are kind of where we thought they would be. I mean, this is, you get frustrated with the team because they, you know, they were in the playoffs, now they're out. But it's like, you know, this is where Armstrong kind of predicted they would be. And this, and before the season started, we were talking about this is kind of where we thought they would be, right on the bubble, on the edge. Maybe, you know, I'll be the optimist. I'll be on the bubble and they'll get in, which they could have easily done without, you know, Nashville going on a heater. So without Nashville running off 8 straight, they'd be in right now. So, tonight's game was a continuation of the Islanders game in a way. Blues beat the Devils 4-1 back on November 3rd in St. Louis, but they drop this one 4-1 in New Jersey. A good example of the Blues, typical Blues game this season, that's been frustrating for Blues fans. Too many of these, just simply not good enough. Binnington was in net. Buchnevich was in the lineup. Toffoli for New Jersey was not. Toffoli is expected to be traded tomorrow. That's why he was kept out. Buchnevich was in the lineup. So speculation from some was that, oh, well, then Armstrong really doesn't have any strong desires to actually trade him. So I'm not sure if that's – when's the last time the Blues have sat a player due to possibly being traded the next day? I can't recall the last time that's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
I don't think it's happened under the Army regime.
Yeah, and I'm wondering too that, you know, holding a player out of the lineup, I guess, and this is totally just spitballing speculation, it could tip a GM's hand, you know, as far as like, oh, he really wants to trade this guy, so much so that he's going to sit the guy out of the lineup. And maybe it's a thing by Armstrong to kind of say, well, I don't have to trade Buchnevich. You know, I played him last night. You know, if I don't get the deal I want, I'm not going to trade him. So, which is very Armstrong-like. If he doesn't get the deal he wants tomorrow, I can totally see him not being traded. If he's even going to trade him. I know there's speculation, too, about that we can get into this a little bit later, about Armstrong willing to retain half of his salary in a trade. So, early in this game, maybe a minute in, Falk, that misplay, across to Falk, off his skate, leads to a scoring chance. The first minute, all alone. It's like, Jesus Christ.
It sounded bad. Yeah, it sounded bad on the radio.
I was like, well, of course, right? Falk's fighting it. And I'm going to do kind of what we did with Pareko last season, is that Falk, he might not be healthy. He's just making just mistakes hockey players don't make. You know, NHLers don't make those mistakes. And he's doing it a lot. So he made a couple mistakes tonight. He made that one. He had that gaff that on that lofted puck just outside the Blues blue line, and he just went to glove it down and he missed it. And it just goes goofy off his glove and his turnover. They end up scoring on the play. So
it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
It's the first time in weeks we've been on time with that.
You're welcome.
Nice job. So yeah, Devils dominate this game early, get two fortunate bounces and get two goals. Blues couldn't do anything. First New Jersey goal came on a broken play after Hughes circled the zone on the power play, 13:24 into the game, splits the Blues forwards, draws them together, opening up Hischier for a pass in the slot. The Blues D closes on him and blocks the shot. But the puck squirts, unluckily, I guess, right to Meyer at the side of the net, who lifts a nice backhand over sliding Benenson into the net. So 1-0 New Jersey. I saw this play and I saw the replay. And I'm like, okay, who do I blame? Who do I blame? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's bad luck. It's just, I mean, you can't cover that. How do you cover that play?
Right. It's bounces. It's Timo Meyer on a heater. Mm-hmm. That was his fourth goal in four games. And he wasn't done.
No, fourth goal in three games plus a period.
Yeah.
The second New Jersey goal came with 3:56 to go in the first period. Thomas loses the defensive zone faceoff. New Jersey passes point to point. Shot off Letty's leg right to Palat in the far circle. Two Blues defenders go to him, and he quickly passes back into the slot to Meyer, who one times a shot into an open net. Jeff Ponder, that is what a one-timer looks like. a real nice play, actually, after a very lucky bounce of New Jersey. So, quick bang-bang play. Good of New Jersey for finding the man that quickly. Shots were 15-3 New Jersey at this point in the game. 15-3 at this point. And then down 2-0, you're like, does this team... You know, it's frustrating because, you know, you want to say this team is better than this, but they've been doing this for quite a while now, getting outshot, getting outplayed badly at times. Interestingly enough, the Blues do get a power play with about 2.5 or 2:50 to go in the first period, something like that. And the power play looked really good. They didn't score on it, looked really good. And then all of a sudden the Blues came to life. They were playing very well. The end of the first period strong. They played a really good second period and get back and get on the board on a goal by Saad about midway through the second period. Saad keeps the play alive in the offensive zone, far boards, passes to Perunovic, who shakes and bakes to the point, which I loved, to create a shooting lane. Lets a laser go off the post right to Saad, far side, and he puts it in the empty net. Great puck control by Saad on this to corral it and fire. And honestly, I think this is what we need to see out of Perunovic. He was aggressively creating that shooting lane to the point. I like the ceiling for Perunovic. I'd like to see Scandella move. I'd like to, you know, in the offseason or at the deadline tomorrow. I'd like to and give Perunovic more time, whatever. See, hopefully, maybe a no trade clause gets moved. Maybe Krug or Falk, which is probably not going to happen, but whatever. But getting Perunovic more power play time would be great. And that specific play by him there, I thought was fantastic. Love to see more of that from him.
Yeah, Brandon Saad has been on a mini heater himself, playing like a guy who wouldn't mind a change of scenery, maybe. I mean, he's not been one of the names mentioned. He's got 2 years left after this, 4.5. He's 31 years old. He seems a lot older than that. It seems like he's been around a hell of a lot longer than that. But, you know, he could, you know, if he were wanting to go somewhere else, that could be a guy that could be more valuable than, you know, some of the lesser guys. Definitely, like, you know, Kapanen was on some of the top 50 trade lists a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why he would be there and Saad would not be.
He makes, was it 3.4, whatever it is?
His cap hit, yeah. Saad's cap hit's 4.5.
Not Saad, Kapanen.
Kapanen, yeah.
So that's a lot for.
But GMs are finding ways to get around that, right?
Yeah,
look at the, what was the three-way trade where Philly just agreed to eat somebody else's salary.
Sure, that's true. And Phoenix is good for that too.
Right.
Or Arizona. Div by Zero says, sorry, not sure how setting a player tips your hand wrong. If anything, it sends a signal the other way. The guy might be trying to get him off from the Blues. I think it would have been smart to sit him. I was just totally spitballing. I was not like hard on defending this stance. It was just something I was just like riffing. So I agree. Hard on. it was just something that popped into my head and I just spit it out. You know, I'm not like, you know,
spitting out hard on. I like it.
Not standing by it at all. Just to talk amongst yourselves. Heavy 44. This cast is soft on the Blues. What? How?
There's been a lot of talk in, you know, in the chat about how soft the Blues are and soft players around the league.
No, this cast, I think he means us. We are soft on the Blues. Meaning not hard enough on them. Maybe I'm reading that wrong.
Yeah.
That's how I took it.
No.
I'm reading it too.
Okay. If I'm wrong on that, let me know. But I don't think we're soft in the moves at all.
I think that they have completely underperformed, and I would love to, you know, see a reshuffle. Did you catch the second intermission or the first intermission where Emily Kaplan said that other GMs have told her that Doug Armstrong's been calling all year saying, I want to shake up my roster.
Yeah.
And he can't do it because he fucking hamstrung himself.
Right. All the no trade clauses. Yeah. Well, and probably what he wants to do is get somebody to take these NTCs off his hand. It's like,
yeah,
no one wants
Why would you do that?
Yeah. And it's not like there's only 1 or 2 years left on these contracts. You know, they've got, four, what is it? I don't have it up. There's multiple years left on these NTCs on players. I mean, Armstrong's not going to retain salary on a guy who's got 4 years left. You know,
right.
A player that other teams might actually want, Parayko, the Blues probably shouldn't get rid of, in my opinion. He's your best defenseman. He's a guy that can still play at an elite level for 3-5 years yet. So,
right, and Parayko.
He doesn't make a lot of money there.
Right. A Parayko move would signal rebuild. Right.
The other
guy, it's part of a retool. But Parayko right now, even though Dom, I don't know if you saw the Athletic piece, Dom answered a question about Parayko that people have been asking. And, you know, just that the whole, you know, he seems better than he actually is. He said, you know, people have been asking him questions as to, you know, is his model just unfair to Colton Parayko? And he said, you know, it is probably the most difficult thing to adjust the model for our defensemen. And, you know, but he ultimately said, you know, he's a good number two somewhere else, and that's it.
Well, I mean, he's not making number one money. So
no, and yeah, I think
to be
so,
fair. So that's so,
to be fair. So Light Sound Geometry is going off on Armstrong and bringing up, you know, and so, you know, what is to me, what has come into very, you know, very sharp relief. We've got plenty of hindsight at this point is that Army's decision to try to amass mid range salary defensemen as opposed to giving the keys to the kingdom to Petrangelo has blown up in his face. And he's locked himself in with all of these mid contracts. And he's gotten below par play from aging defensemen. And I think he should be held accountable. Do I think that he's going to be fired as he puts the hashtag fire Armstrong in the chat? No, Tom Stillman has only known him as the GM. He probably doesn't have anybody else in mind that could take over as GM of this team and keep the team competitive. He should be held accountable and, you know, told you've got to find a way to get rid of one of these contracts.
Yeah. And I think, you know, my stance when people talk about the fire Armstrong, I'm, you know, my take is that, yeah, it is extremely frustrating that the way this roster is constructed with these guys you can't move, and the guys that you can't move are some of the major problems on this team. Even though defensively this season, I think the team has been a lot better. This season, its offense has gone in the tank. You know, they're getting 22 shots a game. We're midway through the third period. We got 18 shots for the game total. It's like that's a common theme. So, I mean, there's not enough pucks on net. You know, you got right. your top. You're supposed to be your top sniper, passing up great scoring chances, driving a playmaker, and gets no shot at all.
Away. Right, and he's been, you know, he's been harped on all fucking season for that, and he hasn't made the change. You know that
he had a good two games after he made that comment after Brewer was fired.
Right, and right. And then he's gone back to sucking.
Yeah,
you know, they were so happy to play on the perimeter all night tonight. Never, you know, they would occasionally try to put the puck to the net. There were a few flurries in the third where, you know, they would pass it around the boards and then get it down low and chip it to the front of the net. And, you know, they just couldn't get really good presence in front of Dawes.
No.
And just, you know, kept putting it into his chest and his pads. And
so while we're talking about Kyrou, I mean, yeah, how about that open net miss on the power play, huh?
Oh my god.
I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding. Austin could have made that. Could have shot. Well, Austin's got to get it off the ice first, right? So,
okay, listen here, buddy.
Ponder could have scored that one. we'll take a
nod. Could Ponder? No, he couldn't.
That was bad. That was, I mean, it's funny because there's a freeze frame of right when he receives the puck, and the net is complete. The 6x4 is completely open. There is nothing in obstructing at any part of the goal at all, from the goaltender or the defense or anything. And I just want to make a meme out of it and say, you know, Kyrou did not score here.
Yeah. No, he's missed several incredible chances over the last, you know, the last few games. And he just, his mental game is shit. Right. He has,
seems like it, like,
between the ears. He seems absent, right? He's a very talented player, very skilled player. And when he plays without thinking, he's at his best. But goddamn, like there are a few things. Like there are so many flaws in his game, right? The empty net goal tonight. What happened? Cycle around the boards.
Yeah, he lost.
He got open at the top of the slot, and every time he does that, the Blues play it to him, and the other team swarms, causes a turnover, and that's exactly what happened here tonight.
Do you see what Krug did on the empty net tonight? He had a goofy neutral zone play trying to block it and totally like, I don't know. It looked weird. And the exact same thing happened last game as the Islanders. he zigged and the whoever shot the score the intender zagged, and it was just like a really weird dive attempt. It was just, he's looked bad two games in a row.
I think,
and that's hard. It's a hard situation, a tough for him to be in. I get it, but
he looked
ridiculous on both goals.
Right. Well, go back to the Leafs game a few weeks ago with the empty netter for the hat trick for McCann. The guy that came from nowhere and got a hat trick against the Blues.
Yes, right.
I thought Krug could have kept that puck out of the net. So I think he's coming up with new and inventive ways to allow empty net goals to go in.
Austin has shared with us that the Pens and Canes are in the process of setting up a trade call. I believe the package includes Jake Guentzel in exchange for a conditional pick that can become a first, multiple prospects, pieces, plus Michael Bunting. It's multi-layered. It's like an onion. Multiple layers of this trade. And that's from Sur Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. There you go. Yeah. It's a given, right? He's being traded. And it makes me – it's hilarious to me. I forgot who it was. Hockey writers, suggested that the Penguins would be, this was a couple weeks ago, the Penguins would surely be in on acquiring Buchnevich, especially with Guentzel getting hurt. And I was like, Pittsburgh's going to miss the playoffs. Why would they be buying Buchnevich? And yeah. I'm like, they had games, they were like 10 points out of first place, 10 points out of the playoffs. They had some games in hand. But I'm like, you're 10 points out. You're selling. I mean, that's. I mean, the Blues are almost there, and they probably should be selling if they're. Yeah, they're going to.
We very well should be 8 points out after tonight.
Yeah, Nashville won. So
we are.
Yeah. No, we're nine. We're seven tonight. I think it was seven tonight. Yeah. Mm. I guess nine. So whatever. I just laughed at that. I was like, why? At the time, I'm like, why? Pittsburgh is not going to make the playoffs. So that was funny. And he's not going there. I don't think Pittsburgh's buying. They're selling.
No, that's silliness.
Silliness. Meyer scored again with 3:20 to go in the second period to regain the 2-goal lead for New Jersey. Lofted dump, totally misplayed by Faulk. Stop me if you've heard this one. New Jersey gains possession, enters the blue zone, makes a few nice passes. Meyer is trailing the play, and they find him breaking the slot. Lets a shot go there. He beats Bennington far side. New Jersey puts the game away 4-1 with the empty netter. Power play couldn't get the job done tonight and has fallen off. So the power play was like one of the bright spots the Blues had, and it was how they were kind of stringing some wins together and, had a wild card spot. Their five on five goal scoring was pretty bad, but their power play was the difference. Since Banister took over, their power play has kind of carried this team, and the power play has went in the tank. Two for less, 23, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, and that's coincided with the Blues' struggles recently. So
they need another Zoom call with Brad Richards because they clearly they've lost whatever mojo that got instilled there. They are not dynamically moving the puck around. Either other teams have made an adjustment, and the Blues need to figure it out and make another adjustment. But at this point, if we do sell, I want to see a completely different power play the rest of the way. I want to see Perunovic on the top power play, replacing Krug, and then Bolduc replacing Sundqvist on the second power play.
That should have happened anyway. I mean,
right.
I mean, I, as much as I like Sundqvist, but his role on this team is not on the power play. It's a fourth line guy.
Right. It's a gimmick to get you through a few games, not a season long strategy. And
sure, occasionally. For a certain matchup, if you think that, stick him in front of the goal, Quenneville put Tony Swift in front of the net on a power play once. You know, I'm all for experimenting once in a while. But, he's been on the power play a little too much. And once again, not enough pucks on net. Seems like every game, like I said earlier, midway through the game, through the third period, they're in the teens in shots. Shen, every game now, it's like, He's overskating pucks. He's mishandling pucks. He's not making plays. I'm like, he has fallen off a cliff as far as just general hockey, right? General hockeying. He's just, I mean, and it's disappointing. And I don't know if it's the weight of the sea, but to fall off that quick with just being able to do stuff to create chances, to carry the mail up the ice, to make a play, he's just not doing it. And it's frustrating as hell that one of your veterans, your guys that, you know, you've got, what, Shen's, he's here for another 5 years, 4 years. After this year, 4 years. So,
and captain that whole time.
Yeah, probably. Unless we acquire a guy like where Shane Corson gives up the C for Gretzky, right?
Right. So Connor McDavid?
Connor McDavid. Got to acquire McDavid type.
Austin Matthews? He's not even the captain of his own team.
No.
That's still crazy to even think about.
Maybe he doesn't want to be, you know? Some guys don't care to be that.
Yeah, O'Reilly didn't want it.
Second game in a row, like I said, Crew looked kind of silly in the neutral zone with the goalie pole trying to defend. 24 shots on goal for the Blues, over 3 in the power play. Just not good enough. I mean, I don't know how else to describe the effort by the Blues. Just not good enough, but kind of what we expected from this team, right? I mean, I don't want to say I'm shocked, surprised. Disappointed is the wrong word. Because if I project that they're going to be a bubble playoff team, that's what they are. I mean, mm-hmm. Are you disappointed that? I mean, I guess I'm disappointed. We were on the show, kind of right about where they were going to be, and disappointed that Armstrong was right. You know, you hope the team's going to overachieve and surprise people. That's always fun, but they are what they thought we were. They were.
Yeah. No, and I think Army being public about that was an attempt to light a fire, and that's just not this team's identity. They don't respond to it to that kind of thing, and it's I mean, am I disappointed? Yeah, I'm switching gears a little bit here.
Yeah, got Samuel City
and Liverpool.
Are you
5-1 today? 5-1.
Do you hear New York? Was there speculation New York was going to try and go by City instead of NYFC?
Mm. Oh, fuck no.
No. It wouldn't surprise me because they're they are part of the same. They're owned by the same Middle Eastern conglomerate that owns Manchester City, which is known as City in the Premier League.
All right. So Sundqvist resigns in St. Louis. We'll talk about that along with some of the trade deadline stuff, more Buchnevich stuff, some speculation that we have as far as what we'd like to see or what we might see based on absolutely no insider information whatsoever. You're listening to Kurt, Bill, and Austin on Let's Go Blues Radio.
We'll return after these messages.
We've all tried a diet or workout fad at one time or another, but it always ends the same, right? We either lose the weight and then get back to our routine, but then put the weight right back on, or it just simply never takes hold. It's time to move into a habit-based program that focuses on organization and simplicity. Rockin' That Idea Life's Lean 30 lays it all out for you with the correct food to eat, how to meal prep, and even sprinkles in plenty of healthy recipes. With Lean 30, you'll get the full ID Life arsenal, including energy for that needed kick, a tasty Nourish shake for your needed fiber intake, Slim Plus, to help control your cravings and provide a metabolic boost, Lean Capsules help bust those sugar cravings, and IED Nutrition gives you the added punch you need that takes the guesswork out of what supplements to take. Join the many who are seeing success and make this your last first day on a new program. Visit rockinthatidealife.com to get started, and remember to email Dustin at rockinthatidealife@gmail.com for an extra 10% off exclusively for Let's Go Blues Radio listeners. Start your transformation to the confident, vibrant person you've always wanted to be with rockinthatidealife.com.
St. Louis hockey fans know how it takes a reliable captain and a team of hard workers to achieve major goals. As a police officer and a hockey player, Realtor Mike Burgoyne would wear the C in any situation. As a leader in the home buying or selling process, Mike has surrounded himself with a team of trustworthy inspectors, lenders, and escrow officers that work together more cohesively than Hall & Oates. And as a member of many teams in his life, Mike knows the service our first responders, veterans, nurses, teachers, and yes, even you Let's Go Blues Radio listeners provide the community, so he offers special rates to those individuals. Find the value in Mike's leadership and teamwork today by emailing him at mike@strikewithmike.com or calling 314-753-4060. He'll work closely with you and only show you the homes that match your goals. That email again is mike@strikewithmike.com or call him at 314-753-4060 and succeed with your new teammate today.
And now, back to Let's Go Blues Radio,
the longest
running St. Louis Blues podcast with Price, Ponder, and Day.
The Blues have re-signed Henrik Sundqvist for 2 years, $3
million.
Oscar, sorry.
Wait, who did
I was
we
thinking,
get?
I was
who
thinking,
we, we got Henrik Lundqvist.
Did I say Lundqvist?
3 years.
Henrik Sundqvist, man. Oscar Sundqvist. I was like, what did I say? Henrik?
You did.
Jesus. Golly. Okay.
Oscar Tavares?
Too many names floating around, all these trade rumors. 2 years, $3 million, 1.5 per. Sundqvist said, did it again. Sundqvist said that was always his plan, was to be here. He wants to be a part of the team. And turning the ship around is what he wanted to do, or help turn the ship around. For him personally, he didn't want to abandon it. There's no trade clause in this deal. How about that?
Woo!
So he wanted to be here. He loves St. Louis. I can get behind players who have that attitude every time. I think he's a six. He's got 6 goals, 15 assists, 21 points in 62 games. He's a minus five, 30 penalty minutes. He is a positive point shares player. 0.3 offensive, 1.0 defensive, and 1.3 total. So, I'm fine with bringing him back on the fourth line. It'd be great, though. I mean, obviously, him being on the team is not really going to solve any of the team's issues. I just think he's a veteran to put on the fourth line. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Occasionally get him a little net front power play time. Not always.
I would say never, but I mean, shouldn't have. Maybe it was a reward in like a 5-1 game, right? Late in the game, he can go on the power play. That's cool.
So
but if you put him on the power play, it's like, you're trying to solve a problem on the power play by putting him on it.
So listener Leon, since Jeff's not here to say that, listener Leon in the chat says, I'd love to see the love child of Henrik Lundqvist and Oscar Sundqvist. And I have the answer. It is Simon Holmstrom. Look him up.
Lundqvist, Oscar Sundqvist. You talk about names that are hard to say back to back. Good Lord. That is not easy to say. And then to get the right first name with the right last name and not fuck it up. I think, I don't think, apparently some people in the chat, not cool with that trade. They don't like him, but, I'm fine with that. It's
if used appropriately, whether as a fourth line center or, guest DJ, it's Urban Chestnut. He's good.
I thought for sure he was going to score tonight, just to, in a good mood, with the contract, a little pep in his step, maybe.
Like Steen, when he got his contract extension and put up a hat trick against the Canadiens. I was 2 rows off the ice for that game. That was a beautiful game.
Trade deadline is tomorrow. If you're listening to the podcast on Friday, deadline is today. Probably either expired or about to, because we released the show about noon.
We have a trade to announce.
The full trade for Jake Guentzel has been put out.
Okay, you want to read it?
Yeah, Pittsburgh trades Guentzel and retained 25% and Ty Smith to Carolina in exchange for Michael Bunting, Billy, I'm not even going to try. You know what? I'm sending you this. I'm not reading this.
Just spell it.
Billy, hey, not going to work here no more.
Put it in the chat. I'll read it. Is it a prospect or was it?
First round pick in 24 conditional and fifth round pick in 24 conditional.
It's not Blues rated anyway, so it's not.
It's a trade.
Yeah.
It's a big one. And they say it could pave the way if Buchnevich is going to go. Guentzel is going to go first. Okay. Pittsburgh trades Guentzel, 25% retained, and Ty Smith is how you pronounce it.
Austin. No, not that guy.
Do you see
Billy Koivunen and Vasily Ponomarev?
There you go.
Those guys.
Cruz Lucius, Carolina's first round pick in 2024 conditional, and Carolina's fifth round pick in 24 also conditional.
That sounds like a terrible cover band name. Cruz Lucius.
That's a lot. There's a lot of names in that trade. A lot of big names, too.
Right.
So the guy who said that the Penguins would be interested in Buchnevich is wrong.
And I have to give you props for that. Using the Gary Bettman, we have a trade to announce.
That was good.
That was absolutely beautiful. I just need to know.
Used it last year. Yeah, and I went and found the video before the show.
I have to ask though. When you were reading that, you were doing the Bettman shuffle, like the little squirm kind of thing that he does. So that
I don't know
was that was that about. Was that intentional or
I don't know
or,
what you're talking about. So the answer is no, it was not.
Lights on geometry says I just don't see it with Sonny. He was great on the cup run, and that's about it. He was great on the cup run, and you know he is. Only 29. He's not having a great year this year. A lot of players
going on 40.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he does take a beating out there. But you know, I mean, it's 1.5 million. It's actually quite a bit. It's like double his salary, wouldn't it? Didn't he make like he made, let me scroll up here. Yeah, 775 this year. So he doubled his salary for next season, which is only $775 more. So I'm not going to lose any sleep over a $1.5 million player. I would hope he would play a little better next year, year after, when the team hopefully is a little better. So I don't know. We'll see. No, he has not had a good year this year. No, a lot of players haven't. Let's see. Justin Scott says someone told me they wanted to trade Buchnevich for Crapo Kakko.
Yeah, former second overall pick. The only possible angle I could see with that is Kakko was in town during the Blues Cup run. They when they brought all the top draft picks. He walked right past me. Who went number one overall that year?
Which year was it?
19. Oh. The year we won the cup.
Oh, right.
But they
look it up. Yeah. Austin, look it up.
They all walked right past me. And we were loitering around the TV sets outside before the game, and Jack Hughes. Yeah,
okay.
So he looked huge compared to Jack Hughes. Not hard to do, I guess. But, right. But yeah. So maybe him, you know, remembering the atmosphere, right? If that were the trade, remembering the atmosphere here in St. Louis around the, you know, how excited we all were, that could get him to figure out his game. Probably not, but you know, that's where I'll go with it.
It's funny looking at this, looking at Chicago and Buffalo passed on Trevor Zegras that year.
Man.
Like just a bunch of low teams.
Yeah, they could have had a few Michigan goals.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A big name.
And All-Star Game appearance. Buchnevich rumors. So he has not been asked to waive his no trade clause, which is surprising because Armstrong has said before, he doesn't ask a player to waive his no trade clause until a deal is already in place. So there's that. And the rumor was spread today that the Blues would be willing to retain half of his salary, Buchnevich's salary, to get a good deal done. And the reasoning behind this, after a couple moves are made, taking Buchnevich from four different teams, retaining half his salary would make him more desirable to more teams and bring hopefully a bigger return, especially for teams who are cash strapped but could provide assets. So. Who knows if that rumor is true? Armstrong has never been one to retain salary in a trade, though. So, I don't know. We'll see. Gensel is. Never mind. You just that's out of place there. So Gensel's off the board, and they said that he's likely bottlenecking things for Buchnevich, which I don't know. It could have been the other way around, but whatever. So the speculation is once Gensel is moved, then Buchnevich would be more desirable to teams who obviously missed out on Gensel.
Who's going to be in the market now? I mean, somebody, Colorado's made multiple moves. Vegas has made a big move.
I don't know.
The Oilers didn't make a huge move, but Nashville made a move.
I don't think Nashville.
Carolina was kind of the destination I thought Buchnevich would wind up in. Not going to happen now with Gensel.
Yeah. It's interesting because if Armstrong is going to retain half of his salary, it makes him a lot. It allows him to go more places. You know, if they can fit him under the cap. So, I don't know. We'll see. I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
Right,
but
the Rangers got Weinberg, so
yeah, and Florida got
Tarasenko.
Which they kind of glazed over. They were talking about, I think it was on ESPN before one of their games tonight. I was had ESPN on, and one guy said, "Yeah, I was so surprised that Florida hasn't done more." And I'm like, "They brought in Tarasenko." I mean, it was for a third and a fourth, but which wasn't very much. Granted, Tarasenko's, not having a great year.
At this point, you're kind of just bringing him in for the name.
It's a debt. I mean, I guess they plug him in on the second line. Probably that's what they said. So, second line guy, probably rental. He's got his 1 year, right?
Yeah, it was a 1 year deal.
Yeah, Ottawa, that's what I thought.
So Ottawa was, wasn't going to hold out for a first. They knew they just needed something in return.
If Florida wins the cup, that fourth turns into a third, so they have two thirds. Mm-hmm. I guess a third this year and a third next year.
Yeah, and it's to me the Tarasenko move to Florida. It's a good move for insurance purposes. If Reinhart gets injured, and stops scoring for them, you've got a proven NHL scorer.
Tarasenko
slot in.
Tarasenko did say that Florida was the only team he would wanted to be traded to, so which I'm sure made it really hard for Ottawa to get a good return for Tarasenko.
Right.
Vladdy making more friends
shocking,
as he leaves another city, right?
Right. But shocking, a Russian at the tail end of their career only wanting to play in Miami. Yeah. Hello, Pavel Bure. Hello, Sergei Fedorov.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
A couple other Blues players. Pareko's name is always tossed around, usually by Toronto fans and media. As far as Toronto can acquire Pareko, they never, ever, ever mention that he has a no trade clause, and they never, ever mention that he has said before that he is perfectly happy here and has no desire to waive any no trade clause. He said it a couple years ago.
I wish he would.
Now, of course, that could change, but I don't understand why the Blues would ever want to trade him unless they get absolutely blown away with an offer. Like any player, if you're gonna get a haul for somebody, then you got to consider it. But I mean, you know, Pareko with Ways playing, and especially compared to last year, assuming he was hurt last year, healthy this year, you know, he's making 6.5. That's not a lot for a good defenseman. So, you know, it's and he's got 3 to 5, I think, quality years left. So I don't know. There's no rush for the Blues to trade him, I don't think. So maybe they could trade him in, you know, 3 or 4 years, maybe, to fill a need or whatever, if it's different at the time. Scandella, I think Scandella should be traded tomorrow. Absolutely. Whether or not this team was in the playoffs or not, I think Scandella should have been traded for, you know, he'll be a rental somewhere, a nice depth defenseman, and the Blues could get a fourth round pick for him, because I don't think they would sign him in the offseason. I would hope not. So, Kyrie rumors. Was it a couple weeks ago? Somebody said Kyrie was being shopped, but then it was mentioned today that has been little to no talk of moving Kyrie, even though there would be interest. So, I'm all for chaos. I've said that before in the show. Trading him would be a boat rocker, but he's not even one full year into his 8-year contract. So, and I'm a huge critic of his this season. He's been terrible. I think Kyrie has been awful with the puck. Handling the puck, he has been god-awful. Shot selection, terrible. But, you know, I mean, I'm not going to give him up for nothing. So,
yeah.
I'm willing to be patient with him. I mean, the team, it's not like the team is on a cup run this season and he's just like, you know, he's a boat anchor.
It's so, you know, they're the people that feel that there's urgency because his no trade clause kicks in after in 2025.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to move him with impunity, you have to do it before then. I mean, I'm right there with everybody that's frustrated with the guy. I mean, so much talent, just, you know, can't put the mental game together. You know, it astounds me how bad he is at puck handling. Right. You know, like
when last year
the guy, what pine tar is, right.
Like, receiving a pass.
Stick. Right.
He fucked up a pass tonight. And it cost
at least one, probably yeah. Three.
It just couldn't handle the pass.
And, you know, tried to stick handle and got beat for the empty nickel at the end of the game.
After he missed that open net on the power play, he actually skated hard. I think his next shift, he obviously wanted to try and make up for it. And you actually saw him bust his ass in the defensive zone. And I'm like, where is this hustle? Where is this? I need to look up the stats from the chip on the jersey. I think it's available. Edge. I think it's available. It's for people to look at the burst skating and the fastest skater and stuff is like, he's nowhere to be found. He doesn't hustle out there. He's one of the fastest skaters in the NHL and he's not on the list of guys that skate fast in games. It's like, you know, why he's got all the speed. Why not use it? Let's see what else we got. Tarasenko to Florida, which you talked about. Edmondson. What's that?
What? Nothing.
Oh, Edmondson to the Leafs. Capitals are retaining 50% of Joel Edmondson's salary in the deal. The Maple Leafs traded a 2024 third-round pick and a 2025 fifth-rounder in the deal. The third-rounder previously belonged to the Islanders, while the fifth-rounder was initially the Chicago Blackhawks. And
Joel Edmondson is, quickly becoming a Puck-Doku god.
Journeyman, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So many teams. So if Puck-Doku is still a thing in like 15 years, remember Joel Edmondson. He probably played there.
Heavy 44 says, Binnington is the best. I wasn't really paying attention to the previous conversations. It's not like sarcasm, is it?
it shouldn't be. And no, I agree.
Bennington's been fantastic, and you know what? he was better last year than his stats showed, and he's better this year than last year. So, you know, good on him. And he's calmed down this year. He's had fewer incidences on the ice. You know, that could be playing into his maybe overall calm demeanor is probably his most consistent season. What do you say? From start to finish, he's mm-hmm. been pretty good the whole season. Yeah. He hasn't really had too many crazy highs or crazy lows. He's been
right. You know, he's had a couple of dips where
nothing major.
You know, go back to the Nashville game. That was a bad game.
But individual games.
It was a blip on the radar. Yeah, right. It wasn't a prolonged funk.
Right. It wasn't a Jake Allen month of January and half of February. Funk. apparently Phil Kessel is on track to sign with the Canucks before the deadline. He needs to be on the reserve list by 2 p.m. Central to qualify for the playoffs this season. But word is he will sign in Vancouver.
Vancouver.
So, I mean, you know, it'll be fun tomorrow. Conversation kind of happened today on Twitter or X. Are you pro playoffs or pro draft pick with, like, okay, so where the Blues are right now, for example, if they got in, they'd, you know, and they say they lost in the first round, they'd have what, the 17th pick, something like that. So they have playoffs and a 17th pick, or would you like to have like the 16th pick or the 15th pick and then miss the playoffs? Because I was like, you know what? Give me playoffs and the 17th pick over no playoffs and the 15th, 16th pick.
Right. So the last time I can remember the Blues having the picks between like 13 and 16, we drafted David Runblad, Jaden Schwartz, and Vladimir Tarasenko. And we were able to draft Vladimir Tarasenko because we traded David Runblad for that pick. So, and then the other draft picks beyond that, right, since then, right, the most notable are Jake Neighbors, which super solid pick. You know, if you know, probably, you know, a lot of talk this year about how he's future captain of this team. Mm-hmm. You know, so much leadership off the ice. And then you know, Jimmy Snugger.
Snuggy.
Yeah. And if you're Jimmy Snuggerud, you at this point are just like, yeah, no, we're going to go. Gophers are going to the Frozen Four. Not
from hell or high water.
Lewis. Yeah. I might go for my master's and stay there another couple of years.
I guess my point is that, you know, it's going to be a middle round pick probably. Mm-hmm. And it's like
I'd rather have a middle round pick than a pick in the 20s.
Oh, sure.
Is where I was going with it.
For sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Take pick 32.
But it's like
30.
You know, but it's like, I think, you know, obviously just missing the playoffs is kind of ouch, you know, because you lose out on a better draft, a higher draft pick, and you miss the playoffs. But I mean, right now, it's like, I think, you know, some people are, you know, I wouldn't say rooting for the Blues to make the miss the playoffs, but, you know, they'd be like, no, they didn't miss the playoffs, get a better draft pick. I'm like, okay, if they miss, and, well, they could tank the rest of the way and actually slide and get a top 10 pick, whatever. But if they just miss, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's a difference of a few picks in the middle of the draft. And is that going to, I mean, and you don't know what you're getting at the time either. It's not like it's a really deep draft either, I don't think. So it's like, I mean, I don't know. Give me in a general year when it's the unknown as far as you're drafting, give me playoffs and give me a couple picks lower in the draft. Because I don't know, man. I mean, I like playoffs. Yeah. I don't care if I'm not a cup
contender. I like spending my money on expensive losses.
I don't care if I'm not a cup contender. Playoffs are amazing. If you're underdog, it's amazing. I don't care.
There's you know, going to a playoff game, there's just a different feel about it. Just even if you're not going to the game, that anticipation, just because it's a blank slate, you can do whatever, right? It feels great.
Yeah, the day of, like a big playoff game, like the day of, it's all you think about. You're like, oh, you know, and there's like a buzz in the air, you know, it's like with social media buzzing, and you're the radio talk, you know, it's just fun,
right? Even when we got swept by the Canucks in 2009, right? Every game there was that anticipation and that build up.
Yep. I think up next for the Blues. So we got Saturday against the Rangers in New York, Monday in Boston, and then Wednesday versus LA. That is a rough three games.
Is the Rangers game at 9 a.m.? Because that seems about on pace for Blues Saturday games.
Right. Jeff will be at the game against the Kings on Wednesday. So assuming he can see the ice.
The game will be at 10 a.m. because it'll be at 11 New York.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, I mean, not beating New Jersey, not beating the Islanders. You know, those are two teams, the similar positions as the Blues, trying to get in the playoffs, outside looking in. These are tougher games against the Rangers and the Bruins and the Kings. So, the Blues could very well slip, some spots if they don't, especially if they trade Buchnevich, sell off a couple pieces, which they may very well do. I shouldn't say I don't think they will, because I don't know. But
I don't think they can. Right. The pieces that need to go won't go.
Yeah. Well, the pieces that need to go are like a Krug or a Falk. That's what. Can you imagine if Krug is dealt tomorrow? Like, he waves his no trade and he's dealt. Oh. Blues fans would forget about the disappointing season.
I just have another player hanging in my closet.
They'd be like, hey. All right, we got rid of no trade clause, and we can we get some flexibility with the salary cap, and we can maybe do something. Maybe, you know what? And also, too, it was like trading Buchnevich, with offense being an issue this season, you'd have to replace him with somebody. So, Bill, was there another trade?
Yeah, in the chat. Heavy E says trade D.
Probably just trade the team.
Oh. Yeah, no. But there was something about Columbus, Tampa. Oh, that was the sweep. I'm not paying close enough attention.
Oh, that's okay.
Although it's hard to pay attention with as much chatter as going on tonight. So much emotion in our chat tonight. Love to see.
Yeah,
the it's engagement. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's fun to interact with the folks. Casey Gorak, what are you gonna put there? Oh, okay, Dibizer, I got a question for the panel. Would there be any interest in Saad as a playoff ad? That's by Dibizer. I think the only problem with Saad is that he's got two more years left.
Two more after this.
Yeah, after this year. So
at 4.5.
Yeah,
I think that if you know, Buchnevich is either re-signed or traded, he could be one of the next best available players after that. But nobody has talked about him at all. But, you know, like I said earlier in the show, he has put on a little mini heater here, playing like a guy that is like, hey, look at me. Yeah.
Right.
So I wouldn't rule it out. I'd hate to see him go, because he's kind of the only guy that's consistently shown up,
yeah,
game in, game out this year.
Yeah. Yeah. He
can bring an asset, do it.
He's a really good depth scorer. What's he making, 4.5? Yeah. I mean, I like him at that. I like that at that money. It's not flashy. He just kind of gets the job done. Justin Scott, you have no one to replace Buchnevich's production. And that's kind of what I was getting at. That, you know, if you do trade him,
And with a team that's struggling offensively, you're that much worse offensively. So you, and then you got to spend some time looking to replace Buchnevich. And if you replace his production, you might, I mean, unless you get a younger kid who hasn't reaped the benefits of a higher contract yet, you're going to be paying more for it because Buchnevich is cost controlled. He's a bargain next year. So it's like, I don't know. If he's traded, I'm intrigued because the return should be really big. I'd be very curious to see what we get. If we keep him, I'm happy too. You know, it's like I'd like to see the Blues try and sign him in the offseason. If they could, you know, move some stuff around and sign him, if they could afford him. If he wants to come back here and they could afford what he wants, I'd welcome him back in a second. Because I don't think he's a guy that that's one less piece you'd have to, you know, acquire to help fix the offense anyway. Let's see. Justin Scott says Saad gets a lot of hate and he shouldn't, to be honest. He's done what we pay him for. Yeah. I think it's because Saad just isn't flashy. He's
the professional's professional, right? Yeah. Consistent, shows up, you know, and he's not leadership guy. He's a quiet guy, but he leads by example. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think he would be a great add to any playoff team.
Let's see. Did by Zero says, I would like to see a few years of missing the playoffs. We direly need top end talent to rebuild with, especially on D. Ask Buffalo how that's working out.
Right. Buffalo, who made a move for another defenseman. What the hell? They have their top 4D are all left shot defensemen. They've got to be looking at making another move at some point. I mean, giving up a bona fide 2C for, you know, a guy who's had a shit year. That's I thought it was a terrible trade for Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, there are teams that miss the playoffs a lot for a number of years in a row, and they get high draft picks. Edmonton for the longest time. Couldn't do jack squat with their picks, and they finally hit a winner with McDavid. So,
well,
generational
Buffalo,
talent, right?
Right. Ask Buffalo about that. Right.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Who was the GM then? When it was announced that the Oilers got the number one pick, like that. From then on, like the look on his face meant that Jack Eichel was not going to do anything in Buffalo, and that's exactly what happened.
I understand the desire to want to get a number of high draft picks. If you look back to, it was 2005 when we drafted Johnson.
It was 2006.
We had
another Buffalo Sabre, by the way.
Yeah, right. We had the number one pick, and it was Eric Johnson.
Yeah.
So
number two was Jonathan, win three Stanley Cups.
Taves
in Chicago. Taves and
yeah.
Backstrom was in there.
And what's his name to Pittsburgh?
Stahl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stahl was there. Yeah. Any of those guys would have been better. But whatever. But I totally get it. I get wanting to the idea of trying to build that way. But, there's no one way to do it. So I don't think that's the only way you can get top end talent. A lot of teams don't do that.
No.
And you can retool and come back at it. And then the Blues, that were playoff teams for, and actually the Blues had a really, really good run, really good teams. They just couldn't get over the hump of the playoffs.
25 straight years.
Yeah. And and some of those years they weren't very good, but they made the playoffs just because, the division,
the
or
league
whatever.
Sucked and was right. Only 22 teams.
Right. 22 teams. They'd be under 500 and they made the playoffs.
some meals. But with that said, you know, like the Quinville years and the Hitchcock years, and the, you know, since then, it's like, you know, we've had a long run up until last couple of years of really good hockey. So it's like, and we haven't had a lot of high draft picks in there. And you could say, well, we only won the one cup. Yeah, but there were a few teams in there that really could have, maybe should have won a cup. You know, early 2000s was one. So
yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure. I mean, when we got bounced by San Jose.
Yeah.
And then when the flu bug took us out, thank you, Mel and B's kid in right. Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. And maybe that's what will happen. You know, they might miss for a few years. And but, you know, and the draft pick will be whatever it is where we finish. But I don't know. I'd hate to go down that path. And then you can get stuck in a rut, too, like Buffalo, where you suck and you miss for 3 years and your draft picks don't work out and you miss for three more. And maybe one hits, but then anyone's traded. And it's like, and then you're missing 6-7 years, and you're like, all of a sudden you suck, and you're I don't know, you know, that can happen too, but that's just me being pessimistic. I like playoffs.
Yeah.
Ken Morris says, I have mixed feelings about Scandella. He usually wins battles on the boards for the puck. He seems like a physically quite strong. Scandella's had a decent year. But that's why I think he'd be a good rental for somebody.
No, I think so. But, you know, I also think that you know, Vegas could probably trade Alec Martinez to anybody that's in the market for a Marco Scandella. Now that they got Noah Hanifin, and they're going to need to clear some cap space at some point. But Scandella was horse shit for 2 years. Two, 3 years, but this year he's been very solid.
Yeah, he was bad after. He was good when we acquired him. You know, after plays Bollmeister, yeah,
right.
But yeah. And then after we signed him into that stupid contract,
right?
That was just dumb.
Armstrong, that's the one thing. Like, you know, we talked about, you know, needing Armstrong to be held accountable. I think Stillman should make it a rule: you cannot extend a player mid-season. I will not allow you to do that, because I mean, look at the bad things he's done over his career, right? Laterra,
yes,
that's the worst of the worst.
That was bad.
But yeah, Scandella, and yeah, I don't know. I'm still, you know, I guess I'm happy that Sonny's back, but it just, you know. Like, it also is like, it are the Fodes that dead that Armstrong's got time to work that out?
Right. Right. Yeah. And like I said, if Sunquist would have went elsewhere, you know, it's like, I mean, okay. But it's, you know, it's fourth line. I'm like fine with him there. So,
it's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
I told you last night. No.
All right. I think that about wraps up the show. Unless you guys got anything else you want to chat about as far as tomorrow goes, trade deadline. So who do you want to see go? Anybody specifically?
I mean, if you know, if it becomes a, you know, a full on, you know, we're able to get rid of players. I'd like to see both Scandella and Hayes gone. Think those are, you know, like the two trades that seem likely could happen. But, you know, with everybody else that's moved, I don't know. I think Hayes is here for another year at least.
Yeah. He's got 3 years left, making about 3.5 each season. So it's like I think Hayes has been, even though he's chipped in with a few goals and a few points, I think he's been terrible. I've not liked Hayes.
He's slow. can only be effective when he gets position because of his strength.
Boards.
Yeah.
Pretty good on the boards. But in the open ice.
What's his faceoff percentage? It doesn't seem great. Right. No. It feels like we were dominant when we were playing very well. It feels like our faceoffs
56.8.
We're good. So shit.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's a plus
for Thomas him. Is the one that's fallen off.
He's 51.6 now.
Mm. He was in the 40s at some point, so I guess he's gotten a little better.
But you know, I just don't like Hayes in the open ice. I think he's terrible. I think he's terrible with the puck on the boards, grinding it out. Yeah, put him in front of the net. Yeah, okay, yeah. He
scored a breakaway goal this week, Kurt.
It was and he didn't even shoot it. He came in, he made a move, and it slid off his stick, and it went and it scored.
And did you hear JB Rivers try to say it was the Kucherov faked the shot?
Oh, God.
No, he whiffed.
That in the bar. I was watching it in the bar, so I didn't hear it.
Yeah. He collides with the Philly defenseman, who I think was Sean Walker, who got traded to the Colorado Avalanche. And Walker's just like, he can't do anything. So he peels away from him. And then, you know, hey, Kapanen woke up for a second and found a good pass and made it. So there was that.
I really quickly want to get your guys' opinion on something with the way that the Vegas Golden Knights are using Mark Stone and LTIR.
Circumventing the cap, man.
Yeah. How do you fix this? Like, is there a way for them to, like, is there a way for the NHL to come in and say,
you say your playoff salary cap is the same as in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Done. That's all you gotta do.
Yeah.
I don't know if, you know, that will ever happen, but, if you want to fix it, that's how you do it. Maybe, you know, give them some flexibility to do something with black aces and calling up people and putting them in the box, because you want to have, you know, extra players there for, you know, injury purposes or whatever. But if you're dressing them, then that's your salary cap. So I don't – or have a dressed salary cap in the playoffs. I don't know, where you don't count the black aces. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems bizarre to me. Like, in what other business do you turn off the rules at a certain date?
Well, there's no salary cap in baseball. There's like a luxury tax and stuff like that. But you can bring up extra. They expand the rosters in playoffs.
I know in the NBA they just made a rule to where if you do not play a minimum of 60 games, you're not playing in the playoffs. Doesn't matter if it's due to an injury, doesn't matter if it's due to whatever. If you do not play 60 games that season, you're not playing in the playoffs.
That seems...
out of an 82-game season.
That seems rather harsh. I think they could just do something with the salary cap in the playoffs to you know... I mean, some guy is legit get hurt, you know. But the issue is that a guy gets hurt, gets put on LTIR, and then can replace his salary with equal salary. But when he comes back... then you gotta free up salary to bring him back. And in the playoffs, there is no salary cap. So what guys will do is they'll go on LTIR. Well, you know how it goes. LTIR, and then they acquire somebody with that cap space, and then playoffs happen. Oh, guy can play again, bring him off LTIR, and you're $6 million, $7 million, whatever, over the cap for playoffs. Right.
It's, you know, everybody's talking about Vegas doing that this year, but it was Tampa Bay that started this, right? It was
2 years in a row.
Julian Brisbois, right, with Kucherov.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it seems like it happens every year with a top team, too. You know, it's so that, it, I mean, it's,
you know, crazy how that works.
And they always say, you know, well, you know, they'd rather have Mark Stone in the lineup right now because they might miss the playoffs. That'd be so fun if they miss the playoffs, because they're down. They're not exactly. I mean, the Blues have to get hot, right, to knock them out, and they have to fall off a little bit, but which is probably not going to happen. But yeah, it's always like this top team is doing it. It's like just so happens that
I don't know. I'm not trying to say that it's shenanigans going on, but I'm not saying it's not either. I'm not saying it's not either. You know?
No, it is.
You think so?
I'll say it. I'm on this show twice a year. I'll say it.
I mean, if you're hurt, you're hurt, though, right? You can't just say you're hurt. You have to have it actually medically diagnosed as an injury.
Right. We do have.
Ponder has diagnosed eye gonorrhea tonight.
Right. We do have a note from his optometrist.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's excused for today.
He's got drops he's got to take.
Mm-hmm.
And an eye patch he's got to wear. And now he can go work for Brown and Brown because they have an opening since there's no longer a guy with an eye patch there.
Oh, that is so terrible.
I'm sorry. That's bad.
Brown and Ponder.
That's funny, though.
It can't be Brown and Ponder. Like, it has to be Brown and Jeff, right?
So I wonder if they will ever be our a sponsor for us now.
What are you laughing at?
No.
You can't just like die laughing on the air and then say you're not laughing at anything. What is it? Oh.
Oh, no.
Look at that.
Mr. Gonorrhea himself.
Are you allowed to be on here? I mean, are you allowed to, like,
close your eyes right now, Ponder.
Don't call my optometrist, all right?
Don't broadcast this on the internet.
Is it both eyes or is it just the one?
It's both. But the one is really effing
it's
bad.
It's weird. We just lost 100 Twitter viewers.
What are you doing?
How that works. Oh, my Lord. Look at the amount of people watching. What is going on here?
I saw that. I think it's a counter.
You're not on the show. That's what happened, Ponder.
That's probably what it is. I agree with you. Man, crazy. Yeah, no, I decided to jump on. I don't know where you guys are at. I have not been listening because I can't.
We were wrapping up.
Getting ready to show
All right. Well, I'm glad I'm here for it.
Prediction for tomorrow. Any Blues players being traded? Yes. Who are they, Jeff?
Okay. I would love if Kasperi Kapanen could pack his bags right now and get the fuck out.
You think someone's taking a salary? I don't think so.
I mean, he's a free agent at the end of the year. I could see somebody just saying, yeah, we could use a fourth line guy.
And he made one good pass this week.
I don't know. I think I'm going to go. I think Scandella gets moved because he's had a good season.
I think he should. I think teams. I'm not going to say he's going to get moved. I'd be great if he could get moved, but I think teams should be interested in him. That's where I'm coming from.
I agree. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I could see him getting moved and to a contender. Maybe he doesn't even make the top six on a contender, possibly. But he's an excellent number seven. That could step in if there's an injury. So I could see a team like, I don't know, Colorado, which I don't know if the Blues would trade with them, but you know, draft picks, why not? You might as well.
And he won't be on the team next year unless we sign him. So
yeah.
Florida comes to mind there too.
Protection. Florida, yeah, that'd be a good one. And they're obviously buyers.
Yeah, he could fill in for Mikla if Mikla went down.
Yeah. No, I agree. I've heard there is chatter around Kevin Hayes, because since he's basically at half his salary, since Philadelphia still eats half. But
So Philadelphia's eating half his salary, and then Armstrong eats half of this. $1.75 whatever it is.
I don't know if Armstrong will retain any salary anywhere, but I could see him possibly doing it with Hayes if he could get draft picks.
That's 3 years,
mid level prospect.
Yeah, that's three years though.
That's a lot of money. So yeah, I mean, don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you have 1 year left, I could. He doesn't retain salary. I say that I could say no. I could see him doing it with 1 year, but I'm like he doesn't do that. So.
He doesn't buy out players. He doesn't retain salary. Yeah. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. But the rumor with Buchnevich, you heard that, right? Where he'd be willing to eat half of his salary for next year to move him?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's only 1 year. But man, if you retain salary on Buchnevich, you better get a hell of a return.
Well, the return should be good anyway. And then if you're retaining salary, holy hell.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a haul.
Yeah, I agree.
Should be. You better not retain salary and get like, you know, a second round pick and a
I don't even retain salary if it's like two firsts, because I think, I personally think if you're going to trade Buchnevich, and I think we might have said this last week, I don't want draft picks. I want a guy who could possibly step in next year. I want, I think I said this to you guys privately, but like, I want a trade like what Philadelphia and Florida did. Was that 2 years ago? Where Philadelphia traded Giroux to the Panthers, and the big player they got back was Owen Tippett. And Tippett was ready to make the jump at that point. And look at him now, you know, 2 years later, and he's a fucking stud. So that's the type of return I would want on a Buchnevich.
Yeah, but we kind of talked about, you know, there was a proposal, you know, Buchnevich for Kako, right? That one for one doesn't work. He's a guy that's already been in the NHL four seasons, but just, you know, hasn't flourished. You know, would you do that? Would you do that plus a Rangers first?
Yeah, probably. I take the risk because the Blues do have a nice prospect pool coming up, but I don't know. That's a tough one though, because
they were featured on the Hockey News. You see that?
Yeah, they were. They got a great prospect.
Dvorsky, Neighbors, a couple others,
and Snuggerud.
Snuggerud
on the cover. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. That's a good call, Bill. I think I'd be willing to try it just for a change of scenery type thing. But I feel like you got to sweeten the deal a little bit more. Maybe throw in Jeff Finley in a third. I don't know. Matt D'Agostini, right?
All right. I think we're wrapping the show up. And just as you get settled in here, how you feeling though? How's your face?
Because it's killing me, right?
Yeah.
No, it's fine. It was just so real quick. What happened was I got allergies in the eyes, which is awful. It's only happened like once or time in my life.
It's
and
gonorrhea.
Then I guess
it's gonorrhea.
I guess yeah, it's yeah that and that and pink eye too, of course. No, so and then I guess let's see, it was Tuesday night into Wednesday. Wednesday morning about 3 a.m. I woke up and my hand was like right here on the side of my head. And this eye was just throbbing in pain. And I open it up. Like, I go in and I, like, you know, do the whole, like, look at it. I can see visual scratch marks. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Jesus, I must have been scratching my eye while I was sleeping.
Holy shit.
And, I went to the eye doctor today. And she was like, did you scratch your eye? And I go, yeah, I think so. But trust me, it wasn't intentional. So, I can't. I'm not allowed to look at screens with this eye. I can't do any of it. And the other one's just a little puffy, but I can deal with it.
All right. Well, we should probably go then. Get you off the computer.
Yeah. I'm good right now. But, yeah, no, it's rough.
No, I it's crazy because I missed part of work Monday because I fucked up my eye Sunday trying to remove a contact that had fallen out at some point. So. Ooh. I was frantic, like, I gotta get this out. Go to the eye doctor Monday, and they're like, no, it's not in there. Luckily I didn't scratch mine.
You ever had a piece of contact get stuck in your eye? Like, you pull your contact out, and then there's like, you can tell there's like a corner of it is missing. I've had that happen.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst feeling, because you're like, it's never coming out. It's just gonna be stuck in there forever.
You ever put two contacts in the same eye?
Yes, done that too.
I did that one time. Yep.
You ever have normal eyes?
Only because I thought
me.
Yeah, when I was eight. Yeah.
I thought my contact had fallen out. Like, I fell asleep with it in, and I thought it had come out. But it was kind of behind my eye a little bit. And I I can't find it. I lost it, whatever. Broke open a new set, and I put it in, and I had two in the same eye.
Ugh, so, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Could you see double better?
No, I could not see. Well, and if I were chewing Wrigley's Doublemint gum, I would see four times better.
That's true.
You know what we didn't do tonight?
We didn't do beer of the show. Yeah.
I mentioned that 20 minutes into the show.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't see the comment, but sorry. We did not do it.
Go ahead, Bill. What do you? I'm not going first. Fuck this.
Tanner's like, well, hold on.
So I have tonight. I have the Perennial Artisan Ales Sump Coffee Stout Vanilla Latte. And It was okay. I love the bomber of the Sump Imperial Stout. Every can I've had has been underwhelming. So this contributes to that.
Your focus is off right now too. It just because when you put the beer up there. There you go. I've got a vanilla beer too. O'Fallon Brewery's vanilla wafer.
Nice.
Hector vanilla wafer.
Well, I just grabbed and the only empty can I could find in my trash can down here. I don't know when I drank this, but apparently I've had a quirk down here. So
key lime coconut.
Key lime coconut quirk. Good stuff. I thought you were
going to pull out a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Maybe. I do have some in the fridge, I think. But no, I have not had any beer tonight. I just grabbed an empty can.
Are you taking antibiotics for that or anything?
No, it's steroid drops that I'm dropping in my eyes. So that's a lot of fun, let me tell you.
So you will be facing allegations in 2 weeks.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. HGH for podcasts. 100%.
All right. I think we're going to shut her down, boys.
What other option do we have?
Are we going to do a little Discord tomorrow?
I should be able
during
to.
The day?
Yeah, I'm
we'll
down.
See. Yeah, we'll
I, unfortunately, I've got to take my son to a doctor's appointment at about 2, but I'll probably be on there between like 11 and 1.
Okay. Just send him in an Uber.
We'll probably play around in Discord tomorrow. So
yeah, I likely will not, as I have to adult all day. So
I hate adulting.
I may have to too, but I'll try and be there.
I don't adult yet.
Is your guest sleeping?
Keep from doing it as long as possible.
You have a guest?
She's sleeping?
We'll talk later. No.
You got a lady over?
Yeah, he does.
I just said we'll talk later, damn it.
A lady.
Ooh, it's a lady.
Yes. Yeah,
what did you drug her or something? You can't talk about
what?
It.
No.
Okay, sorry. I don't know.
Who's that one player
tied up in the corner?
Whoa! Chill the fuck.
R, baby, I know how that goes. I'm a pirate.
Just don't we got like some? Don't we have like a closing to do or something?
Hey, Ponder, he slipped her a Mickey.
I'm about to just play the outro.
Oh, Let's Go Blues Radio is brought to you in part by Rockin' That ID Life. You can get 10% off by emailing Dustin at rockinthatidlife@gmail.com and tell him Let's Go Blues Radio sent you. And by Realtor Mike Burgoyne. Give Mike a call today at 314-753-4060 for all of your home buying and selling needs. That's 314-753-4060. That will wrap up episode 22 of season 13 of the original St. Louis Blues Hockey Podcast, Let's Go Blues Radio. Thank you for listening, and thanks to those who participated in the YouTube and Facebook live chats during the live show. We had a lot of people watching and a lot of interaction. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed bringing it to you. For Bill Day, Austin Lynch, and Jeff Pondar, I'm Kirk Price. Until next time, everyone. Trade Hayes. Let's go Blues.
Trade somebody. Let's go Blues.
Let's go Blues.
Shiver me timbers. Let's go Blues. Arr. Ponder.
The Chiefs are at home tonight against Cyanisport at the War Memorial at 8. Good seats are still available.
A look at sports.
I think that went very well.
Thank you for listening to Let's Go Blues Radio. Now take off, hosers.
I want you to have a heart attack and die so that we never have to do this shit again.
Well, there's 90 minutes of your life you'll never get back. Sorry.
St. Louis Blues, St. Louis Blues. Have you heard the news about our St. Louis Blues? They've only just begun, they're on their way to number one. Now there's no more blues for our St. Louis Blues.
The Blues are on the ice tonight again. They're rough and tough and got the stuff to win. They'll always get one more, no matter what the score. They are quite a hockey team, my friends.